Hey, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to begin this morning. Let's pray. Father, you are a good, good Father, and we praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you for your mercy, your grace. We thank you for loving us when we were unlovable. Lord, it says that when we were sinners, you sent your Son to die on the cross for us. That's how much you love us. Father, I pray today that we would focus in on you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that we would lift up praises of our life to you, Father, through song and through our actions, showing that it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that our life can be changed. So, Father, we love you, we praise you, and we give you all glory today. For it's in your precious and holy name, the name above all names, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. We're so glad that you're here in worship with us this morning. If you're a guest with us, you can take that welcome card in the seat back pocket right in front of you. Fill that out. You can put one of those in the offering boxes in the back of the room. You'll get a little bit more information about Luke 418 Fellowship. We're so glad that you're here. If you're in Christ this morning, I want all of us to gather together and reaffirm that we are giving our entire life, our all, our everything to him this morning. If you want to do that, say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand together and sing, "Take my life and let it be consecrated."
Take my life and let it be consecrated.
Is saying that we believe that God sent a Savior. But this next one is telling us to hear the call of the kingdom and look out and see what he has for us to do in the world today. Every single relationship that you have in this life is a chance to share the gospel. Will you do that today? Let's sing.
Hear the call of the kingdom. Lift your eyes to the King. Let his song rise within you as a fragrant offering of how God, rich in mercy, came to Christ to redeem all who trust in his unfailing grace. Hear the call of the kingdom to be children of light with the mercy of heaven, the humility of Christ, walking justly before him, loving all that is right, that the life of Christ may shine through us.
The King of Heaven,
King of Heaven, we will answer the call, we will follow, bringing hope to the world, filled with passion, filled with power to proclaim salvation in Jesus' name.
Hear the call. Here we go.
Hear the call of the kingdom to reach out to the lost with the Father's compassion in the wonder of the cross, bringing peace and forgiveness and a hope yet to come. Let the nations put their trust.
What are we taking to the world? The gospel, the light, the hope, the way. And it's all through Jesus, our precious cornerstone, our sure foundation. He has been faithful to us.
Precious cornerstone, sure foundation. You are faithful to the end. We are
all that again, precious cornerstone.
Precious cornerstone, sure foundation. You are faithful to the end. We are waiting on you, Jesus. We believe you're all to us. Let the glory
Son of God, we praise you.
Holy Son of God, sent from heaven, hope and mercy at the cross. You are everything, you're the
didn't have to do anything for us. We deserve death and hell. But he gave us everything. to be reconciled to him. What a love is that that would be given to us? Let's think about his love as we end our worship together.
Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Of our Father's love.
Let's pray together. Father, your great love for us and your grace and your mercy is overwhelming to us. To be made in your image, to be able to be reconciled to you through Jesus' righteousness, Lord. It's more than we can take, Lord. So in that overflow, we pray that we would go out to those that are searching, that are longing and hoping for something to give them meaning, to give them life, to give them hope. We pray we would do that, that we would be lights to the world in every situation. Lord, we know that you put people in our path that we can tell your great name to, that lost will be found, hopeless will find hope, sick will be healed. We give you the honor and the glory and all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us.
Amen. I do that all the time. I turn it off so that y'all don't hear me sing, because you don't want to hear me sing. Stephanie sings a whole lot better than I could ever sing. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, open up to Ephesians chapter 6. We are continuing in Ephesians. You know, we've been in it for a little while. Those who were here Wednesday night, one of our Melanie asked our children in the children's area, they said, what's the longest book in the Bible? And one of the kids said, I know. What's that one that David's been preaching on? And they said, she said, Ephesians? And the kid said, yeah. And Melanie said, well, that only has 6 chapters in it. And the kid goes, oh, out of the mouth of a child, right? The kid said, so why have we been in it for a whole year? But you know, there's a lot of incredible truths in the book of Ephesians, and we're going to continue today in chapter 6. And you know, we've been in this journey of Paul talking about to the Ephesian saints, where he said in Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled by the Spirit. And so what we have seen is that Paul is saying to them that being filled by the Spirit changes everything about you. But specifically here, he's speaking of relationships and how your relationships change when you are yielded or when you're abiding to the Holy Spirit. Now, first, he talked about how our marriage relationship changes. He talked about husbands and wives. Y'all remember those 2 or 3 messages on that? Some of you are saying, yes, I'm still preaching it to my spouse. But he speaks about how we can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Then we went into parenting, and we spoke a few weeks on parenting and how being filled by the Spirit changes that. And then today, we're on our second message, really, of our work relationship. Now, 2 weeks ago, I shared with you that Paul is not avoiding the subject of slavery here when he mentions masters and slaves. But what he recognizes is that when we make sure that the gospel is our central focus, when we proclaim the gospel and we watch the power of the gospel go forth, Paul says, then we will begin to see an inward change of people that will be expressed in the social structure of the day. What we preached about a couple weeks ago is something that's been very dear on my heart for several months and years of my life, and that is that we must be gospel focused. Any other thing that we make a priority outside of Christ, outside of the gospel, outside of the word of God, then we have placed, if we make something else the priority, then we place the gospel in second and third place in our life. And that is what changes people's lives. We must stay focused on the gospel. So today, as we get into this, let us recognize that we've already, if you weren't here 2 weeks ago, I would challenge you to either get the CD in the back at the media table, or you can go on the podcast on iTunes and get 2 weeks ago's message. But I would love for you to hear the context of this portion of the message. Today we're going to get into the very practical of our work relationships. In this passage, Paul talks about slaves and masters. Let me just remind you, it is not what we consider in our American mind, what we would think of slavery. It had nothing to do with racial issue or a racial factor. It was how the economy of the day happened, and most people would purchase their freedom within or by the age of 30 or a little older. Some people even went in and became a slave simply out of wanting to better their life. So this is totally different. That's the reason why I say go back and listen 2 weeks ago and hear the context of this message. So today, when we speak of slaves and when we speak of masters, we're going to be talking about employees and employers, okay? Now, when I think about work, I always go back to the Disney movie where the men are saying, hi-ho, hi-ho. What is it? Yeah, see, look at y'all. Y'all all know it. But you know, in America, I don't think it's that. I think we say, I-O, it's off to work I go, right? So, but think about this for a moment. Sometimes work can be very frustrating. It can be very mundane, exhausting, stressful. You could have a bad day. You could be frustrated at work. All these different things that happen, and you're like, well, I have to go to work. I've got to pay the bills and all these things. I want us to see today how Paul is showing the Ephesian saints that they have a change of attitude in their work as well because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that work was instituted by God before the fall of man? Let me just say it again. Work was instituted by God before sin even entered the world. I know that you don't have this in the back, but in Genesis chapter 1, or chapter 2, verse 25, God gives Adam the command to cultivate the garden, to take over let's just read it. I know you can find it in the back. It's Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. We'll see it on the screen here. It may take just a second. And there it is. Then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. We see the institution of work right there. But we do recognize that sin has a major effect on work. The Bible is very clear about the importance of work, and it even speaks against laziness. Now, Billy Graham said once that when thinking about laziness, this is not spoken to people who cannot find a job. Instead, it's directed at people who had every opportunity to work but refuses to do so. Now, I will say that everywhere I go today, it has on the sign on the door, work, help needed. And so I think that we are in a place right now where if you know that you're called to work and you don't have something, I guarantee you it's easier today to find something. It may not be what you want, but it's easier today to find something. Now we're going to look in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to pick up in verse 5. It says, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. Not by the way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will render service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatever good thing each one does, he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And masters, do the same things to them. And give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven. And there is no partiality in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, we pray right now that as we open your word, that you would allow the Holy Spirit of promise to enlighten our eyes to see and to place this into our life. Oh, Father, we love you and praise you, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. First thing we see here is we're going to look at employees. It says here in verse 5, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters. We see this understanding the practical of employees or somebody who is working. Now, I didn't say this in the beginning, but I need to speak this. I've said it every week, and that is that the doing in Christ can't happen until what? The being in Christ, right? The practical of what we're about to see in this message is extremely practical. The practical cannot happen in a believer's life unless they are abiding, dwelling in Christ Jesus. I say that because when I speak a very practical message out of Ephesians 6, it's very easy for people to walk out with legalism. And I don't want you to walk out with legalism. I want you to walk out saying, I'm in awe of who my God is, who's given me everything I need for life and godliness. And so when I go to my job tomorrow or this afternoon or Tuesday or Wednesday, I recognize that it's not me who does this. It's the Holy Spirit of promise who does this in and through me. The first thing that we see about an employee is that they have a new master. They have a new master. Have any of you ever loved your job, but didn't really like your boss? And you said, if only I could change my boss. If only my boss would change. Well, here's the beauty of this. Paul is saying, hey, you, as believers in Christ, you have a new master. I want to just go back from verse 5, 6, and 7, and I want you to look at every time that it says as to Christ. If you feel comfortable, underline this in your scripture. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your master according to the flesh with fear and trembling. In the sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart with good will, render service as to the Lord and not to men. Paul says right here, he says, hey, listen, you have a master who's in heaven. It's Jesus, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When you work, when you do, and everything that you do, you are called to do unto the Lord first and foremost. And see, when you go to your job, whatever day of the week it is, whenever you do work around the house, whenever you're at school, students, whenever you're in college and you're doing work, you are called to do everything that you do unto, ultimately, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Now, because he is now our new master, Jesus is our Lord and Savior, he has called us, Jesus has called us to obey earthly authority. To obey earthly authority. So we see here, this says, slaves, be obedient to those who are your master. Can I tell you the word obey means to obey? Now, for some of you, you may say, David, that's really difficult. You don't understand the situations that I'm in. You don't recognize how hard it is at my job. But here's what I do know. I know what the Word of God says. And in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, it says, every person is to be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Let me just say that again. I recognize that Romans 13 is talking about governmental authorities. But in that passage, there's this nugget of truth that says no authority in our life has been placed there unless it has gone through God's hands first. God is the one who places authority in each location, in each place. You may say, but David, I still struggle with this. But God has called us to walk in obedience by the power of the Holy Spirit to show people the gospel. Think about this for a moment. When our marriage changes and husbands, you love your wife the way that Christ loved you and he gave his life for you on the cross, even when you didn't deserve it, people are seeing the gospel in your marriage. Wives, when you submit to your husband because you recognize that God has called you to do that, because we're called to follow the loving leadership of our husband, we're showing people the gospel. This whole idea of being filled by the Spirit in our marriage relationship, our parenting relationship, our work relationship is all about showing the gospel to the world by the transformation of life that's happened within us. But let us always remember, God is our new boss. He's our new master. And so therefore, God has placed authority in our life, but we are always called to yield first and foremost to God's authority. If your earthly boss tells you to do something that is not according to God's word, then you do not follow the authority of your boss. Now, let's just give you an example. If your boss tells you at work, hey guys, listen, I want you to lie on the accounting forms because we need to show better profit. Well, what does the Word of God say? Let your yes be yes, your no be no. many different passages in the scripture that talks about that we are called to speak truth. And in that moment, we're called to stand for the word of God and not follow in that authority. Ultimately, what you're doing is showing that person that you believe and trust that God is your all in all. Because he could say, well, I may fire you. And you say, listen, you can fire me, but I'm going to follow God's word. And God's my provision and he's my protection. See, we must recognize, yes, we're called to obey, but we are not called to obey when somebody is calling us to do something counter to the word of God. This is the same thing that we see in 1 Peter about governing authorities, right? We've talked about this. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 13 through 17, it says, submit yourself to the Lord's. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to the king as one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God that by doing right you may silence the ignorant and foolish men. And he goes on and he says, honor the king. He's telling them to submit for the Lord's sake. When you honor and obey your boss at work, you are doing that for the Lord's sake, to the Lord. Now let me just be very careful and say this. There is a difference between something that violates God's word and something that you simply just don't want to do or something that you simply find unreasonable. Let me just say that again. There is a difference between something violating God's word and something that we simply don't want to do or that we find unreasonable. And see, we must know God's word so that we can figure out the difference between our boss asking us to do something that violates his word and him asking us to do something that just goes against our own opinion or thought or something that we don't want to do. I have seen brothers and sisters take scripture out of context to stop themselves from having to do something that they didn't want to do. And that's, the scripture isn't telling us. He's telling us to follow and walk in obedience of our boss unless it comes against God's holy word. Let me just continue on in 1 Peter chapter 2. He continues on in that passage. And it says, servants, be submissive to your master with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor if for the sake of conscience towards God, a person bears up under sorrows and suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin or harshly treat it, you endure it with patience? But when you do what is right and suffer for it, you will patiently endure it. This finds favor with God. Wow. You say, David, there's a lot of things my boss will tell me to do things and I just don't want to do it. We're called to walk in that obedience, seeking the power of the Holy Spirit in and through us so that we show them that love of the Father. The gospel is coming forth from our lives. Some of us in this room don't want to hear that, but it's real. A personal example in my own life is that there's many times that I will call brothers in Christ and ask them, hey, I want to pray over what this word is speaking, what God's word is speaking, so that I don't use this word to allow my opinion to keep me from doing something that God's ultimately telling me to walk in obedience of. And see, we must recognize that we must lay down our personal opinions and thoughts and say, God, you give us your word, we're going to follow it. But even if there's something that is unreasonable that my boss asked me to do, I'm going to walk in that obedience to show them the love of the Father. He continues on, it says, to do this out of fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. You know, the word fear there means to have respect for. You're called to have respect for those that are in authority. That can be very difficult. David, my authority doesn't deserve respect. I would venture to say if I asked for a raise of hands, there would be many people in this room that would say, my authority doesn't deserve respect. But you know, the reality of it is that we don't deserve what we've received. It's by the mercy and the grace of God that we have been set free from an eternal damnation in hell, that he has set us free and called us children of the Most High God. It's not about looking at what somebody deserves or does not deserve, because at the end of the day, none of us deserve what we have. None of us. It's by God's grace that we have been set free. It continues on, and he says, obey in the sincerity of heart. In the sincerity of heart. Well, this is interesting. You know, parents, we understand this. Have you ever asked, as the authority at your house, asked your children to do something? Such as I talked about a couple weeks ago, cleaning the playroom. And you all of a sudden see the outward expression of how they don't desire it. They're like, oh, okay, if you say so. Right, you begin to see that expression. Now, maybe that doesn't happen at your house, but it happens at ours every now and then. You see the unwillingness. You see the they're doing it with frustration this grudge, just, oh, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to because I have to. See, what we see is the outward expression of what's going on in their heart. As adults, we have learned how to hide our disapprovement and our resentment. Have you ever just smiled and, okay, I'll do that, but really on the inside, you're just like, ugh, like this, no, ugh. Like, what is going on? He's saying, listen, if you're going to walk in obedience, it has to be willfully, not begrudgingly. One pastor says that you must put your whole heart and soul into the work, because at the end of the day, it's not towards your boss. It's offered up to who? God, your new master. So we must do our work with a sincerity of heart. We must do it not begrudgingly and willingly. Oh, but then he goes into one of the hardest things for us to hear in verse 6. Not by the way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ. Not as a man pleaser. Do you realize, believers, that we are called to first and foremost and to only please the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll tell you, this is a hard one for me because I grew up as a people pleaser. And the Lord showed this to me about 10 years ago that I was struggling with people pleasing, and God began to pull those roots of people pleasing out of my life. A man pleaser is one who's more concerned about how men or how women see them more than how our Creator God sees them. It's interesting is that a man pleaser is somebody who's more concerned about someone who's been created instead of being concerned about the Creator. He says, don't obey your master just simply out of man pleasing, but do it unto the Lord. I love what it says in Romans 8. It says this in 7 and 8. It says, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. For if it is not able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Or as Galatians chapter 1 tells us in 9 and 10, when Paul talks about sharing the gospel, he says, hey, I cannot please both man and God. The verse that just rocked my world several years ago, it says this. It says, as we have said before, so I might say it again, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you receive, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of man or of God? Or am I striving to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a bond servant of Christ. Brothers and sisters, why do you do what you do? You know, we get into work and it's just mundane. I just got to get this done. And God's saying, everything you do is to be offered up to me. You know, I began to think about it because it continues on. It says, with goodwill as to the Lord. Everything we do is to be presented before the Lord. Have you ever thought about it? If you're working at a grocery store, that when somebody comes in and you're checking them out in the line, that it's as if you're checking out the Lord as he's going through the grocery line. Why? Because you're doing everything unto the Lord. everything. It's as if the Lord is there and you're offering that work, that service to the Lord. Do you recognize that every day at your job, everything that you do is to please the Lord, is to show His gospel, is to show the transformation in your life? He's with you. If you're a doctor, it's as if you're seeing patients and you're seeing the Lord. You're offering that as an offering up to the Lord by your life. God is the one who instituted and gave us work in everything we do. We could go on and on and on with every position, every job. Every job, if you're a welder, you weld as if you're welding for the Lord. Everything. People say, well, a pastor needs to do that to the Lord. Yes, a pastor does. And so does every other profession, every other job, every one of us as to the Lord. And then in verse 8, he says, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he'll receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. You know, the next thing that we see here is that an employee, their reward is in heaven. Their reward is in heaven. You know, this brings me really back to Matthew chapter 6. And in Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says multiple times about where people's rewards are. First, he's talking about prayer. And he says, you know, if you pray for people to hear you, then your reward is in full right there. If you pray and want people to see how incredible of a prayer you are, I'll try to say that properly, then your reward is what people think of you. But he says if you go into a room and pray, your Father who knows what is spoken in secret, but he hears, your reward is in heaven. When you fast, if you put on a face and you're just like, oh, like I'm fasting right now, and it's been like all of 2 hours, you know, I'm struggling, I'm so hungry. Your reward is in full in what people think of you. He says that's it. But when you fast unto the Lord, and it says that you show a face that is clean and one that is basically not showing that you're in the middle of fasting, the Lord knows what's done in the heart, and your reward is in the Lord. He continues on. He says, when you're giving, if you walk in and say, hey guys, just want you to know, I'm about to pay off the building here at Luke 4:18. I want all y'all to know that. I'm about to write a check. It's going to bounce, but I'm going to write a check. Your reward is what people think of you. They may be like, yes, awesome. But it says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And in doing so, the Lord knows, and your reward is there. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. It says, but store up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Brothers and sisters, when you walk in obedience with a sincerity of heart, even when you have a boss who asks you to do things that just seem just frustrating, and you continue to walk in that and love that boss and show them the mercy, the grace of the Father, God says your reward is in heaven. Now, how many of you want rewards here on earth or in heaven? I tell you, you may make a decent percentage in the stock market here, but I'm telling you, the increase in investment up there is 10 times, a million times, infinitely better. See, we get so focused. Well, I got to work harder, make more money so I can spend all this money and buy all these things. And God's saying, no, you got to recognize that at the end of the day, when you go to work, your first priority is the gospel. Your first priority at work is to show a transformed life to your boss and your coworkers. That's your first priority, because that honors God, because you can only do that through the inspiration, through yielding to, through abiding in the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, your retirement is in heaven. Your reward is in heaven. He says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, on down after all this, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things, they'll be added to you. You, when you go to work, seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom. every moment of every day. Then he shifts and he has one verse on employers, bosses. And you say, well, that's not fair. But just wait till you see the very first. It says, and masters do the same things to them. Well, we can go back. Okay, we're called to, we have a new master, God. We're called to walk in obedience. We're called to have a sincerity of heart. I mean, he's telling them in that first passage right there, he says, do the same. Those who are employers, those who are bosses, and some of you in this room are bosses, some of you are owners of companies, all these different things, he's saying to you, do the same. Why? Because it's the same Holy Spirit that dwells within you that brings about the transformational work in your life. If it's the same Holy Spirit that's working within you, then you have the same instruction to go to work that's all about the gospel and honoring God with how you lead and how you manage as a boss. You know, the slaves and masters here in Ephesus, they began to see each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. So they began to treat each other the way that we would treat each other within the church. Brothers and sisters. And he says to the master in verse 9, he says, and masters, do the same to them and give up threatening, knowing that both their masters and yours is in heaven. So it's the same instruction for the employer, and it's the same master. They're both under the same authority. So if they're both under the same authority, and they both have the same instruction, then they're both, employers and employees, are called, those who are born again in Christ Jesus are called to first and foremost focus in on Christ and the gospel in all things. At the end of the day, which matters? That the company becomes a multi-million dollar company, or that the workers come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? What matters more? The eternal souls of men and women matter way more than any material possession that we could ever get. Way more than any success that we could ever have. But too often we get focused in and we say, well, if I can just get through this week, then I'll get my mind focused on the right thing. But then guess what happens the next week? Well, if I can just get through this week, I mean, we got an audit coming up, and we got this coming up, and we got that coming up. And God's saying, every moment you are called to focus in on the gospel, every moment you are called to recognize that your leadership is done unto the Lord as the same master. So we see that employers have the same instruction. We see they have the same master, and we also see they have the same reward. They have the same reward. Look at what he says in Ephesians 6. He says, and there is no partiality with him. Can I tell you, at the foot of the cross, it is level. It's level. It doesn't matter whether you're a boss, a worker, whether you have 100 people under you or 100 people over you at your job. At the foot of the cross, it is level. Every one of us is in need of a Savior. Every one of us needs Jesus Christ. And praise God, he died for the whole world. That's all of us. See, the same reward. Let me just show you how Paul wrote it to the Colossians. In the book of Colossians, it says this in chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 24 and 25. It says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. He was just in that passage. He's talking about servants, masters, employee, employer. And he says, those who are all about themselves, all focused in on getting ahead, making more money, all these different things that go through our mind as Americans, he says, that's your reward. But those who are focused in on the gospel, those who are focused in on the King, your reward is in heaven. See, brothers and sisters, we must recognize that God knows our heart. We won't go into all of it, but you know that one of my favorite passages is Psalm 139. It talks about he's intimately acquainted with all my ways. Before I even speak a word, he knows it. And let me tell you, the person that sits next to you at work, your boss, God knows their heart too. He does. He knows if we're walking in the sincerity and willingly obeying because we want to show the love of God and the gospel going forth. He knows what we're doing. So here we see Paul is saying, when you're filled by the Spirit, employers and employees, there's a change in how they live at work. They're showing the gospel through a transformed life. They lead, they serve, ultimately unto God. And so let me close with some application. I love the commentary by Tony Merida. He says it this way. Employers are called to work through Christ, work like Christ, and work for Christ. Employers are called to work through Christ, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They're called to work like Christ, that they're reflecting the image and the character of God. And they're to work for Christ, that everything they do would be offered up to the Lord. And Tony says it this way in employers. They're called to lead through Christ. They're called to lead like Christ. And they're called to lead for Christ. They lead through Christ by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Being filled by the Spirit. They have a change in their life and they lead like Christ because the transformation that's happening, they reflect the image and character of God, and they lead for Christ because they recognize that everything they do is offered up to the Lord. See, brothers and sisters, we must recognize and we must see our work as being done unto the Lord. We must begin to see that our workplace is our mission field. See, oftentimes we can come in here and think, well, you know, Brother Randy's going, taking a trip to Zambia next year, and I need to go on that trip to go on missions. Just tell you, we do need to go all over the world for missions, but every day you're on mission where you live. And guess where you spend a large portion of your time? At your job, at work. We've got to begin to see and allow, see our work as our mission field, yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit, reflecting the gospel in everything that we do. High school students, middle school students, it's time for you to begin to see that your mission field is your school. That when you're yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to reflect the gospel as you serve the authority in your life. As you show a love and respect for them because you have been loved by the Creator God. Those who are in college. See, when you are going to school and you're learning so that you can step out into the workplace, you recognize that you serve those in authority showing the gospel of Christ through the transformation of your life. And let me give a radical thought for those who are in college or those who are even thinking about changing jobs. How often do we pray, God, where do you want me to be for the mission of the gospel? I hear college students tell me all the time, well, David, I just want to get a good job. I'd love to be in a good city that I like. And I hear all the things that they want. And I look at them and I say, hey, where does God want you to be for the purpose of the gospel? When you're thinking about a new job, brothers and sisters, we must recognize that wherever we go, we're still on mission for the gospel of Christ. There's a church that I know of decently that I love this. When their college students go to graduate, they're in a college town and they have a large college group, and they look at their college students and they say, I want to challenge you to find one of our church plants, one of our church locations, one of our plants, and would you go and find a job in that city so that you can support that church and be one that serves in that church plant? Think about what they're telling them. Hey, where you go, what you do is important, but what's most important is the gospel going forth. And see, this is a very practical message, brothers and sisters. But I think that when we begin to sing the song, "It's off to work I go," but you start off with, I owe, it's off to work I go. I think that when we get into the mundane work environment and, oh, I'm just getting through this so I can pay bills and so that I can do this and I can do that. When we change and recognize, I'm going to work today to serve God by how I work and to show everybody around me the gospel. I don't know about you, but it changes how excited I am to go to work. Why are you excited? Man, I get an opportunity today, as long as it's called today, as long as God gives me breath in my lungs, to show the love of the Father to other people. I get an opportunity today to show that the transformation that's happening in my life is because of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for me. You want to see Mobile changed? We start seeing our workplace as a mission field. We start saying that we want to show the transformation of our life to the world so that they say, hey, how in the world have you been changed? And we say, it's all about Jesus and the Holy Spirit that dwells within me. See, as we close this time, this section of scripture that Paul's saying, hey, all your relationships change. What Paul is saying in all of this is that the world will see the transformation in your life and that you'll be a gospel proclaimer simply by being filled with the Spirit. And the change that's happening in your marriage, the change that's happening in your parenting, the change that's happening at your workplace, and people will see the gospel. See, Paul's gospel focused. He's a gospel proclaimer. And he allowed, stepped back and watched the gospel power go forth. Church, may we not be so focused on just getting the job done, on the money that it's required to pay all the bills, on just getting along with our people at work. Just getting to 5 o'clock, can't wait to punch the clock, as they say. I always thought that meant you punch the clock because you were ready to leave and you were frustrated. May we see that every moment we breathe and wherever we're at, especially at work, we're called to take the gospel.